Good morning.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the court, with me today is Captain Kyle Abraham from the Department of the Air Force. In this case, we and the FLRA begin with the same premise. That is, to quote the FLRA, proposals that require the expenditure of funds not authorized by law are outside an agency's obligation to bargain. Now, the Air Force cannot waive that authorization into existence, nor can a waiver be created by the FLRA not raising a point with the authority that the authority had rejected some 23 years ago, continued to reject, and apparently in its briefs before this court, still rejects.
So the argument is the agency has addressed this issue previously. It's in agreement with the legal proposition that the government is urging. So let's send this back. Let the agency
Your Honor, look at it,
and the government should have raised, the Air Force should have raised that issue before the agency.
I think, Your Honor, that the thought that the case should be sent back so that the agency has an opportunity to address this issue is normally a very reasonable outcome. In this case, a couple things. One, of course, as we've strenuously argued, the agency has no particular expertise on the meaning of statutes that is the responsibility of the Air Force to implement.
Could the Air Force go back to the agency and ask it to reconsider?
I'm sorry, Ron.
Could the agency go back to the could the Air Force go back to the agency and ask it to reconsider?
I assume it could, Your Honor. I can't say definitively. But
I mean, I have to understand how we are getting around the statutory bar.
Well, Your Honor, we're getting around the statutory bar because we're dealing with a question of authorization of an expenditure. The agency waiver cannot be a substitute for an authorization by Congress, just as in the Richmond case, an agency could not be stopped and thereby create a financial obligation, nor, as this court recognized in the case of sovereign immunity, could there be a waiver of sovereign immunity under the provision in the FLRA statute. So for those two reasons, there can't be a waiver. Our second point our second point on that related to the doctrine of futility, which this court has recognized. And we certainly understand that this court has construed that narrowly. Normally we want to have the agency opine on a matter. But here, the Air Force was in the position of facing the FLRA's adherence to a reading of legislative history, which ultimately was discovered to be wrong. The FLRA does not deny that its reading was wrong, and it says, well, given the new information, maybe Congress intended that this money not be spent in the way the union proposes, or at the least it creates an ambiguity. So the agency itself, the FLRA, recognizes the impact of the newly discovered legislative history, but nevertheless it maintains that the Air Force is in a position to negotiate on this matter and maybe ultimately agree to spend some money on the proposal. So again, Your Honors, we think that the issue here.
Can I ask a really basic question? How much does a uniform cost?
I'm not aware how much it costs. It's not an elaborate uniform. I've been informed that it's basically shirt and slacks. It's not like the uniform that Captain Abraham is wearing in court today. It's a relatively simple uniform.
And the $400 is each year?
I believe it's now up to $800,
Your Honor. $800, okay.
Right. So again, it's not a question of how much or whether it's, you know, in another situation, it might not be reasonable for an agency to provide these services that the union is proposing. It's whether Congress has authorized it. And here we know now that there was language in the original proposal, before the Senate proposal, that talked about the upkeep of the uniform, and when it got to the conference committee, that language was deleted. Now, we think that when you combine that, that informs our reading of the statutory language, and the language says that the agency, the Air Force, can spend money for a uniform. It means for a uniform, doesn't mean for something else that has some relationship. Of course, it's related to it, but it's not an expenditure for a uniform.
I understand the argument. If the conference report had said something like, no matter what any other statute has ever said, not a nickel will ever be spent for cleaning military uniforms, period. But as we know, the agency has a different interpretation of the statute, even after being aware.
The FLRA does say, however, that it's willing to say that there's ambiguity here, both in the language and in the legislative history. Mm-hmm. Then the question for this court is, who is better equipped to resolve the ambiguity? The FLRA, which is dealing with a statute not its own organic statute, but somebody else's, or the Department of Defense and the Air Force, which administer the provision. And our contention is they are the ones who have to interpret this. The FLRA, under this court's decisions, is supposed to defer to the reasoned judgment of the agency, the Air Force, about its own statute. And then this court should, we say, if the court agrees with the FLRA that there's ambiguity here, then the appropriate response is to defer to a reasoned judgment by the agency, and certainly with the legislative history that is before the court and the language of the statute, that is a reasoned judgment.
So even though Congress passes a statute that says the court is not to address matters that are not raised before the agency, where there's a concern by the executive branch that an agency is, at least in this context, authorizing an expenditure that Congress, for which Congress has not appropriated funds, the executive agency can come directly to this court and have this court interpret both
the agency's
interpretation of the statute and the Air Force's interpretation.
It's a very limited exception. This court recognized that for sovereign immunity, and the Supreme Court recognized it in another context about estoppel.
Maybe I missed it. I thought you had a statutory hook for your argument, which was that there's an extraordinary circumstance.
Right, and that's the second element here, that under the waiver provision itself, an extraordinary circumstance can excuse the Air Force. And here, that circumstance is the unknown legislative history that places this in a completely different light.
So because nobody thoroughly looked at the legislative history before?
It's more than that. It's more than that. You have 23 years of decisions by the FLRA repeating this.
I know, but it's not as though they ever looked at this.
Apparently they did, Your Honor.
I know, but the point is everybody's had lots of chances, 23 years of chances.
Well, Your Honor, I think that with respect to the FLRA, the Air Force gave credit to the FLRA's statement of what the legislative history contained. It was only at a later point that we took a closer look.
You know, some of us would applaud them for not looking at the legislative history.
We need not go there.
Right.
All right. If the court has no further questions.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Counsel for respondent.
May it please the court, my name is Joyce Friedman, and I am representing the FLRA. There are two separate and independent reasons why the Air Force cannot prevail here today. First, the Air Force concedes that it failed to bring before the authority the one and only argument that it presents to this court. Thus, as a matter of law, this argument is waived under the plain words of 7123C. Second, even if the Air Force were somehow able to surmount this insurmountable bar to its petition, the court could only find for the Air Force if the court decides that 10 U.S.C. 1593 and 5 U.S.C. 5901, the uniform statutes, specifically provide for the cleaning of uniforms. They quite clearly do not, and the Air Force must prevail on both these
points. But 1593, particularly, I'm looking at A2, the in lieu of language, doesn't it? It seems to give the Department of Defense a choice. You can do one of two things. You can either provide a uniform or an allowance for a uniform. But that doesn't seem to provide for cleaning for uniforms, right?
Yes.
You get one or the other. You get the uniform or you get the allowance for the uniform.
But this is a negotiability proposal, and in finding in deciding on a negotiability.
No, but isn't the issue, the Appropriations Clause issue, is has Congress somewhere authorized this sort of expenditure?
Yes.
And their argument is that here's what Congress has authorized. They've authorized you can spend your money in one of two ways. You buy a uniform or an allowance for a uniform. And you can't do both, right?
Right.
So it's this binary choice. And doesn't that suggest that the only money that can be expended here, that can be drawn from the Treasury, is the amount of the uniform and not the uniform plus its maintenance?
Well, the negotiability provisions provide that when something is specifically provided for by statute and there is discretion in the agency to be able to argue about a proposal, the agency and the union have the right to bargain over that proposal. Now, as to the appropriations argument, that is a different issue. And
well, that's the one that interests me most. I don't know about my colleagues, but that's the one that interests me most.
Okay.
How do you get around the Appropriations Clause problem?
Right. And under 31 U.S.C. 1301, not every expenditure in an appropriations has to be listed. And as long as the agency has discretion, it's not specifically provided for.
What discretion is provided in 1593 when it says funds can be appropriated for a uniform or, in lieu of that, an allowance? That do you see my point? I mean, it seems to me that saying you can either get a uniform or an allowance for a uniform, and I don't see where's the room there for cleaning for uniform or tailoring for uniform or.
Well, there is a statutory maximum in the uniform statutes, and anything that would further the purpose of having Air Reserve technicians wear a uniform would
polishing
be something.
Polishing of their shoes? Does polishing of shoes fit in there?
Well, in a case called NFFEE, where the authority overturned the cases that the petitioner talks about, the test is not a comprehensive test anymore. The test is whether an agency has discretion.
How about the cost of tailoring? Somebody has gone on a fitness binge and lost a good deal of weight. Can they get the cost of tailoring? Has that been appropriated by Congress?
I believe if it furthers the purpose of the appropriations, the uniforms, it can be negotiated over, and this is in conformance with the cases that say that under 7103A14, if a statute doesn't specifically provide for something, it is than a condition of employment that is susceptible to being bargainable. And so in the NFFE case, for example, the subject matter was putting emblems on uniforms, and the authority found that that case, under the new, if some discretion standard, not the comprehensive standard, that, by the way, was specifically implemented in 1995 in the IAMAW case cited in my brief, and also the NFFE case that is cited in the appendix in the FLRA's decision at page 174. So the cases that the petitioner speaks of in terms of, well, there are extraordinary circumstances here that gets you past this statutory bar, because they actually say two reasons. Because there are some FLRA cases that found that the comprehensive nature of the uniform statutes authorized cleaning expenses, to argue otherwise would have been futile, has no merit, because we unequivocally superseded those cases. So that doesn't establish futility under that ground. The second reason they speak of as to an extraordinary circumstance is that they didn't know the legislative history when the Air Force appeared before the authority.
I thought they had a third reason, which was that spending something that's unauthorized, which would be the result of this, your position, it constitutes an extraordinary circumstance. In other words, the government, there's no estoppel or any kind of equivalent doctrine, and so their failure to raise it below can't authorize something that Congress has not authorized.
Okay, and they're trying to compare this case with sovereign immunity, and they cite the case Army versus FLRA, which is not applicable here. Sovereign immunity is not applicable in this negotiability appeal. Under the FLRA statute, the government has consented to having good faith bargaining on the matters determined by the authority to be negotiable unless precluded by law. And below, the Air Force argued that the cleaning services of uniforms actually constituted the uniform, in effect arguing.
So suppose the statute, I'm sorry to interrupt, but suppose the statute were ambiguous. Doesn't the Air Force get to interpret that ambiguity in the first instance? And don't we defer to the Air Force's interpretation of the ambiguity?
Well, the problem with the deference argument here is that they never brought this interpretation to the authority at all. In fact,
why does that matter?
Well, because if you give deference to an agency's interpretation, there must be consistency. And there is no consistency here with their argument.
No, but the Supreme Court said that agencies can change their interpretations, so that's...
But it has to be well-reasoned. And here, they actually argued that uniforms constituted, rather cleaning services constituted a uniform, which in effect meant that these costs are authorized. Mm-hmm. They also said that, cleaning services are... I'm sorry.
Can't the Air Force look at the statute, again, assuming it's ambiguous, and say, we could read it to cover cleaning services, but we also have the discretion not to read it not to, because it's ambiguous. And we choose, at this point, to interpret it not to cover cleaning expenses, and therefore it's not an appropriate subject of bargaining. And isn't that the end of the case?
Well, I believe that this case is not ambiguous. I believe that...
you think cleaning expenses are clearly authorized? That has to be your position, actually.
Yes, that it's authorized because it furthers the purpose of having uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
And also, because of the negotiability law,
But it's hard to make that point, that argument, if you do look at the legislative history, that does suggest
Well, the legislative history would be pertinent only if it shows that this appropriation was not authorized. The legislative history doesn't make that showing.
I agree with that, and legislative history generally is susceptible to multiple uses. But in this case, it does appear that Congress wanted to do what you just said, or no, someone wanted to do what you just said, which is to clearly authorize it, and then that was taken out, right?
And we don't know why. And
right.
It could be for the very reason that they wanted each agency to have the discretion to make that call.
Exactly. Well, that's the Air Force's argument, right? That's the Air Force's argument, that Congress took it out because they wanted each agency to have the discretion to make that call. And their argument is the Air Force has the discretion, not you.
Well, I meant at the beginning to say, well, we'll allow it. And I have to also add that in the Air Force's instructions, on pages 37 and 39 of the appendix, the Air Force admits that it has the discretion regarding cleaning services because it states that cleaning services are normally borne by the employee. And this implies that sometimes the Air Force would cover those expenses. So that's another reason why I think that it is authorized. Not to mention that by saying in their argument before the FLRA that they considered that cleaning services constituted a uniform, that also means that it was authorized under the uniform statutes.
Do you know if the figure now that OMB has come out with is $800 a year, how does that work? I mean, how does an employee take advantage of that?
I don't quite know. I do know.
I guess what's the allowance go for? 800. You go buy clothes and send in a bill for reimbursement, or I don't know how it works.
I don't know.
Okay, maybe.
Sorry.
Yeah. Anything further?
Excuse me?
Anything further?
Just that I wanted to distinguish this case from the Army case that was cited at page 8 of the Army's reply brief. Below, the Air Force argued that the cleaning services of uniforms constituted the actual furnishing of a uniform, in effect arguing that the uniform statutes authorize these expenses. Now, again, the Air Force has done a 180-degree turn and they're arguing that these expenses are not authorized. Thus, this case is different from the Army case because in that case, the Army generally argued before the authority that the remedy, which was a damages-type remedy, much more akin with sovereign immunity cases, was prohibited. And then the agency then came to the court and argued the much more specific argument of sovereign immunity as a barrier. And that's not the case here. The Air Force argued just the opposite. The Army case concerned a ULP where the FLRA ordered a remedy to compensate the employees for personal losses because of a government's policy. And here the FLRA is merely directing the parties to negotiate about cleaning services within the agency's discretion in furtherance of an agency's interest.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, counsel for petitioner.
Just a couple brief points, Your Honors. What I heard here was that the FLRA is saying that the legislation is clear. I do want to call the court's attention to the respondent's brief on pages 18 to 19 that deals with the statutory language, and then on pages 10 through 11, which talks about the legislative history, where they say the intent may have been to prohibit, and then they say there's at least ambiguity on the subject. So this is at variance with what was written in their brief. I think the essential fallacy in what the FLRA is saying is, as we pointed out in our brief, You can't equate silence with authorization. You need to actually find the authorization. The FLRA talks about having overruled those cases. They were superseded. That's true that they came up with a new test, which said it was a matter of discretion rather than whether the statute comprehensively dealt with the subject. But that didn't change their reading of the legislative history. And finally, we weren't arguing sovereign immunity was at issue here, but we were saying this is analogous to sovereign immunity because it deals with a constitutionally based requirement.
Do you think the Air Force has discretion to pay for these expenses?
No, Your Honor, and that's the nub of the case. There is no discretion because Congress has not authorized expenditure.
So you're not even arguing that it's ambiguous anymore. You're arguing
No, we're arguing it's straightforward, but we're saying that if FLRA says it's ambiguous, we think we have a reasoned reading of it.
Okay, so if it's ambiguous, you still win, is your argument?
Correct, Your Honor. Thank you, Your Honor.
We'll take the case under advisement.
Thank you.